From listener-supported KTOO, welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Occoquan and on demand as a podcast. It's Thursday, July 11th, 2024. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Gnachish, hawa, toyaksik nusam, salama. Thank you for joining the conversation. On today's show, we'll chat with the icon Sherry Payne and Linda Lawrence, former ladies of the Supremes, who along with Joyce Vincent will be making their way back to Juno August 10th for a night to remember. We'll talk with PEO Chapter G about their upcoming wildlife cruise that will help sponsor scholarships for women. And we'll preview a fun-filled day camp for 6th to 12th graders that's starting up this Monday, and there is still time to register. Those conversations, music, and more coming up this hour on Juno Afternoon.
Hansen Gress, Ka eat with the Shu Yi, we Kashuk a yitin. Jin Katka K Jin Tak, Anakaya Haanikak, Gunshish.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com.
You're listening to community-supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. And that right there is Sherry Payne and Linda Lawrence, former ladies of the Supremes, with Joyce Vincent, who will be in Juno August 10th at the Elizabeth Peratrovich Hall to bring all your favorite hits and more live for a night to remember. It's presented by Brown Sugar Productions, and you can find out more on Eventbrite by searching for Juno and former ladies of the Supremes. I'll also put the link on the webpage for this episode. And I am joined now via Zoom by Sherry, Lynn, and Linda. Gnachish to you both for being here today. It's a pleasure to have you in the studio. Wasiati, how's it going?
Good. How are you doing? Yes. Thank you, Boston.
I'm doing so good. I have so many questions, and it's so fun to have you being able to preview this concert, which is in about. Oh, yes, go ahead.
Before we go, Joyce is trying to get in.
Okay, great. So it would be great to get. Yeah, I don't see her yet, but if she joins in here, I will add her to the call. Joyce Vincent, formerly of Tony, Orlando, and Dawn, and we definitely have questions for her as well. Now, I want to start by thinking, there's this great quote you have on your website from Diana Ross, who was in the Supremes, and she states that, you know, she says, they have traveled for 30 years as the former ladies of the Supremes, and one of the things that's been really wonderful is they've kept the legacy alive. And I just know like what a joy it is to hear those iconic songs. And I'm just curious, like it must be pure joy to be performing these songs for those who remember them, but also for the next generations who may be hearing the songs for the first time. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That's true. You know, that I was just talking about that the other day with someone. It's so funny, you know, because you can say to someone like my grandchildren, you know, they know who I am, you know, who know, they know the group and they know the music because they're in the industry. But how about those their age who don't?
Right.
And it's really, really funny. You know, it really is. You know, you say the name Supremes, they go, who? I don't think I've ever heard of them. You know?
Right, right.
But, you know, it is still wonderful, though, because even someone as young as my grandchildren, you know, 18 and 15, they like the music. Mm-hmm. They actually like the music. Mm-hmm. So that, I think, is you know, really telling about this group. You know, all these years, the music has still gone on, and even the young ones like it.
Yeah, well, there's something about the music that just, you know, it makes you dance and makes you tap your feet. Like, they're just really, really good songs. So, but let's set the scene just a little bit. The Supremes were one of, if not the biggest Motown group throughout the 60s and 70s. And of course, it saw the breakout of Diana Ross. And Sherry and Linda, you both joined the group in the 70s. And I'd love for you each to share sort of like, what was it like to be asked to be in such an iconic group? I mean, what that opportunity was like for a young singer.
Oh, my goodness. Well, for me, Lamont Dozier is the one who got me into the Supremes when he had come out to California on a business trip and ran into Mary Wilson at an event. And she told him that Gene Taroba was just leaving the group and they were looking for another lead singer. So he suggested me. And so Mary called and I sent out some pictures and albums of this group I was in at Invictus Records. Holland Dozier Holland had formed after they left Motown. And then she called me back on a Thursday night after I had Federal Express, the pictures and albums. And she said, I love what I saw. And would you like to come out to California, to Los Angeles? I said, sure. She said, I said, when? She said, Saturday. I said, Saturday? And this was Thursday night. She said, I've got your plane ticket at the airport, Willow Run or whatever it was. And so I was scared. And my best friend, Barbara Gaines and Walter Gaines, who was in the Originals, the group at Motown, they were so excited. And Lamont, we were all hugging and stuff. And when Lamont brought me home, I told my mother and I said, I'm scared. I can't do this. It's Supremes, that's too big. And so my mother gave me that big pep talk like mothers will do. And Saturday morning, Walt's brother, Herb Gaines, picked me up and took me to the airport. And I arrived in Los Angeles and Cindy Birdsong and her husband at that time, Charles Hewlett, picked me up and took me straight to Mary Wilson's house. And we started rehearsing because I didn't know they had a gig the following Saturday in New State Fair, New Mexico. And so that was my introduction into the Supremes.
Wow.
And I just want to add one thing, Boston, when you said that younger people don't know who the Supremes are. When I bought my car back 3 years ago at Hamer Toyota, and I was getting ready to fill out the papers and stuff. And so my daughter was with me, Shoshana Payne Phillips. And so he asked me something and I said, well, let me check with my manager, Eric Iverson. And so he said, well, who is that? And Shoshana said, well, you know, my mother was one of the Supremes, former member of the Supremes. He said, the Supremes, that sounds sort of familiar. I think I remember that. Now, this is a man like in his early 40s. Dang.
Oh, wow. That's so funny. And, you know, it might be too that, Sherry, like sometimes people hear the songs and they don't assign the group to it, but they know those songs, right? Like we started there with Where Did Our Love Go? And of course, we all know that song. You've heard that beat before. For sure. And you did mention Holland Dozier Holland, which as if people may not know, were the writers of much of the original material, a lot of material for Motown. And so you were also in a group that they had started after they left Motown. So that was that cool connection. Yeah. That's really cool. What about you, Linda?
Well, it was something that, I never really expected it, to be honest, because I thought my sister was going to be one of the Supremes. Because when they were looking for Mary and Cindy came to the Cartaveron Theater, and I was working with Stevie Wonder singing backup for him. And I'm sorry. This is so weird. I've never had this happen before.
That's all good.
Hold on. Sherry, take over for a minute. I've got to see what's going on here.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Everything just left. Oh, my goodness. Everything.
Technology.
You're still, I could still hear you. You're all good. Okay. So now here's, let me ask this question then of you, Sherry. So in somewhere in the mid 80s, right? This idea came up for you all to create this group, the former Ladies of the Supremes. Tell us about that original idea and how that sort of came about.
Well, it was my daughter's father, Ronnie Marlin Phillips, who had this company. Not Dangerous Records. But anyway, he had this idea that why don't you ladies sing again and call yourselves, they said FLOS. It's the acronym for Former Ladies of the Supremes. And so I contacted Gene and Cindy Birdsong, and we were together about 4 months or maybe a little longer. And then Cindy wanted to leave because she wanted to do some evangelizing. So Gene suggested, let me call Linda Lawrence. I said, oh, great. I said, okay. So she called up Linda and we met. And then that's how we got started. And that was in 1986.
I can't believe it was 86.
Can you believe it? Superstar International Records. That was the name.
That's right.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, I'm so sorry about the interruption. I was just saying that my sister, they came to this Cartaveron Theater, and there were two of us were sisters, my sister and myself, and then there was a third girl. And so I knew that my sister looked a lot like Cindy because my sister had to play Cindy in the Bluebells from Patti LaBelle and the Bluebells. And so I just assumed, you know, that it was going to be my sister. Well, they did want to see her. So she went for the audition. And then after she auditioned, I was in New York with Stevie. And I think she had gone to Philly and I was still in New York. And then they wanted to see me. And I was like, me? Why? What? You know? And so anyway, I spoke with Charlie Atkins, who was the choreographer at that time, and also my, what I call my West Coast pop. And I spoke with him and he said, well, you know, if they just want to see, just go see him anyway. You know, she's probably going to get it, but just go anyway. So I said, okay. So I talked with Stevie and I said, you know, I don't know, but suppose they want me to do this, what should I do? He said, well, if you stay with me, you'll just be a backup singer. But if you go with the Supremes, you'll always be a Supreme. So I always say that Stevie Wonder is the reason why.
That's a pretty good reason.
And, I really loved working with him, you know, and I learned so much musically. And he at that time, he was just exuding music, you know. And so I didn't know if I wanted to leave that. And when I realized, you know, he said, you know, think in long terms. And I was like, okay. And so as it turned out, they chose me. And that's how that went.
That is so cool. What great story and great opportunity, right? Especially to be able to be in such an iconic group. And then, of course, I do want to mention that in 2000, sort of this awesome thing happened for you both. The Return of Love tour happened. And you both got to go on the road with Diana Ross, who had left the group by the time you both were in it. Can you share a little bit about that experience? What was that like?
Wow.
Oh, man.
It was great. It was a great tour. I think she had something like 90 people on this tour.
You know, 94, I think.
It was huge and it was beautiful. Everything was so well done. And Diana is such a gracious person. She made sure that we had everything we needed. We were that we were satisfied with everything. And, you know, it was just really a wonderful time to be able to do that tour with her.
And I remember one night we went out to dinner, Linda, and I think she asked how many people were on the tour. And I think that's when her assistant said 94. And she said she was so thrilled. That she had 94 people working.
Yes. She, you know, just the fact that she had people working. You know, she was that kind of person. You know, it's like, wow, that's good. Everybody's got jobs, you know.
A great thing. And I'm imagining that, you know, I mean, obviously when people hear that, you know, you were in the Supremes at some point and now you're still touring. But then I feel like with... did you get a sense? I'm always curious about this for those who have achieved that sort of superstardom like Diana. Like, do people just, I mean, what was it like to see people react to her? Were they just, was there something about her that was different? Or was she seems like a really down to earth person as a human being, but like, how did she handle that sort of superstardom?
Well, I think it comes second nature to her now.
Yeah, it's natural.
You know, maybe at first it was a little, you know, off-putting or daunting. But, you know, of course, she's been doing this for so long. And she loves what she does.
That's right.
When you love what you do, it all flows in together.
That's right.
Know? When you if you don't love it, it's going to be difficult in the task. But if you love it and you have a passion for it, it's just easy. You just automatically know, you know, okay, I'm going to do this way, that way, you know, and so forth. And she was always very appreciative of the fans, as Sherry and I are as well. You know, we really understand fans. Fans are some very interesting people.
Yes, they are.
And, you know, and when they really are, and I think the Supremes have some of the best fans in
better
the world. They stick with us through thick and thin. And I mean, for years, we have fans that are, you know, have been with us for over 40 years.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, we remember the guy we just had us when we had a Catalina and we had some signing. And the guy had he had the newspaper. And I think it was from, oh my word, we couldn't even believe it. It was like a black and white newspaper.
Oh my God. Andre Pittman.
No, not Andre, but this,
not
is,
Andre.
An old,
okay.
This is an older man. And he came over to the table. He just stood there. And I looked at him and I said, why don't you come on over? He says, well, I wanted to show you this. And he showed me this paper. I'm trying to remember. It was from like 60 something. I couldn't believe it. He had the newspaper.
Wow.
It was like, wow. It was amazing. So I think the Supremes have some incredible fans, and I'm always saying, you know, being grateful to them.
Grateful and humble diehard fans.
Oh, yes.
I love that. Now you have, you mentioned, we talked about this, that you started this former Ladies of the Supremes in 1986, and I'm trying to do the math, but I think that means you've been doing it over 30 years, and we're coming up, we're going to be coming up on 40 years of that, right? Soon here in, like 2 years. So about 38 years. I mean, just, but you said, Linda, like you have to love what you do. Obviously you both love this because you've been doing this touring as the former Ladies of the Supremes, plus the work you did in the Supremes, but this group that you've been doing, FLOS for short, has been happening for over 30 years. That must just be, you must have some memorable experiences. Is there one or two like funny stories that stand out from your time on the road?
So many
funny stories. But I think the one that really always comes to my mind is the night that we were singing on stage in England, and I was to start the song, and I started with the wrong lyric, which took Sherry to the wrong lyric, which took the other girl, Freddie Poole at the time. It took her, she didn't know what was going on. And yet we never stopped the song. You know, we kept on going. And then when Sherry made up some words, I had to turn around. It was so insane. You know, I mean, these things happen after a while, you know, it just kind of goes off, you know. But just for a minute, you know, it was just.
Oh, my God. And the fans know the lyrics better than we do.
Oh, yes, especially in England.
Yeah.
If you don't know the words, don't go to England to perform. They know all the words. Okay.
Oh, that's so funny. Now, I it looks like Joyce had some difficulty joining the Zoom, which is okay. But I did want to mention that Joyce Vincent, who's your third, she's formerly of Tony Orlando and Dawn. And Dawn wasn't a person. It was two people. And then Joyce was one of those people. And they do, you know, obviously people might remember songs like Tie a Yellow Ribbon Round the Old Oak Tree and Knock Three Times. And do you all do some of those songs as well in the concert, or do you just stick to Supreme stuff?
Oh, no, we do some Tony Orlando and Dawn songs as well.
Yeah.
So Joyce can sing the lead to those. She was in Dawn with Thelma Hopkins.
Yeah.
Actress, not very successful. Yes.
Yeah.
And so we allow, you know, not allow, but we, Joyce comes up and she does her Knock Three Times. And
yes.
We love that.
And people love those songs.
Yeah, they still love those songs too.
Those are also songs that people remember. I remember them as a young kid, and I didn't know who was singing them at the time, but I still, you know, I love them. Of course, I do know now. And I wanted to mention this. I thought that was kind of cool for Joyce to be able to be with Tony on stage at his final retirement concert this past March in Connecticut.
Yes,
that that must have been a joy for her to do that.
It was.
Yeah. I know it was.
Yeah, that's really awesome.
You know what I was thinking? You just said you heard the song, but you didn't know who was singing it. When we were talking about, you know, people not knowing, you know, the songs or whatever, that happens all the time. You can hear a song, but you say, I don't know, because nowadays they used to, DJs many, many years ago, used to say who actually sung the song after the song. Now you can hear a whole block of songs and not know who's singing.
Exactly.
And so, you know, it's like, well, who sang that? Who is that? You know? So sometimes that happens. A lot of times that happens with our music.
I do it all the time with my app. I have to put my app up to the radio to be like, who's singing this? Because it's maybe somebody I've never heard before and I want to add that to my playlist or whatnot. So before we have to go, I just wanted to find out, what can people expect at the concert here in Juneau on August 10th?
Well, they'll hear some old songs, and they're going to hear some Tony Orlando and Dawn songs, and you might hear a couple of new songs, too.
Yeah.
Everybody.
New songs. I love it. I love it. And, of course, the concert is
new to us.
New to you. Oh, I see. Okay.
Right.
And, of course, the concert is family friendly. We want to see, you know, the longtime fans. We also want to see the longtime fans bring in the young fans who are going to become fans. And it's just wonderful that you all have been sort of keeping the legacy alive, as Diana Ross said, like I mentioned at the beginning of the interview there. It's really wonderful. that you'll be coming to Juneau. Let me give these details once again. It's August 10th. Yes. It's going to be at Elizabeth Peratrovich Hall. It's the second time that the former Ladies of the Supremes have been here. They were here in December of 2021. They have a wonderful website, which you can follow. The best way to find that website is just Google the former Ladies of the Supremes. It will come up because it's a long website name, but you will find that website. They have like a little blog that they keep up to date. They have different news events. They have where they're performing and some photos and some videos that you can look at on YouTube and things like that as well. It's really awesome. And of course, if you want to get tickets for the concert here in Juneau, you can just look at it for those on Eventbrite. It's a long, again, a link. I'll put it on our webpage for this episode, but just go to eventbrite.com and put in Juno and former Ladies of the Supremes, and you'll find that ticket website for that. Yeah.
And they can also go to Facebook.
Yeah. You
know, it's Facebook, it's former Supremes on Facebook, former Supremes on Instagram,
Twitter.
Former Supremes on Twitter, but the Google one is the former Ladies of the Supremes.
Yeah, okay, I see. So I like that. You're all on the social media. You got that all.
Yes, we're everywhere.
We have to be. That's what it's about today.
I love that. Yeah, you got to get the word out. Got to get the word out. Well, it's going to be lovely to have you in Juneau again. Thank you for taking some time to chat with me today.
Thank you.
Sherry Payne and Linda Lawrence, former Ladies of the Supremes, who will be in Juneau along with Joyce Vincent. Have a wonderful day. And this time the weather will be much warmer when you're here in August.
Linda
loves cold. I like hot.
I love the cold. Sherry loves the heat.
It'll probably be raining, but you know, it might be raining. So yeah, it's all good.
Hopefully. Well, cool and rainy.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
And tell everybody to come on out because they're going to have a ball. They can get up and dance if they want to. It's going to be wonderful.
I love that. Thank you so much. Kenneth Cheesh for joining me today.
Thank you.
Okay, up next, PEO Chapter G of Juneau will be holding a wildlife cruise fundraiser that creates scholarships for local women. We'll get all the details next here on Juneau Afternoon from KTOO. But first, a little more of the former Ladies of the Supremes. This is Juneau Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. PEO is a philanthropic education organization that has been helping women achieve their educational goals for over 150 years. And PEO Local Chapter G is holding a wildlife cruise to raise money for scholarships for local women. And joining me now in the studio are Karen Rayfeld and Liz Ballstead. Gunnar Cheesh. Hiya Adi. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you in the studio today. Was Iti, how's it going?
Well, thank you for having us. It's going great. And we really appreciate the time to talk about this fundraiser because it's one of our biggest fundraisers of the year.
Yeah, and it's such a cool fundraiser because it provides scholarships for local women, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. But first of all, I'm sure people are wondering, PEO Chapter G, what? That's a lot of numbers and letters. What is that?
Well, as you mentioned, it is a philanthropic education organization. In Alaska, we have 18 chapters, and here in Juneau, we have three. So we have Chapter D, G and N here in town. So it's just in order of when they were established in the state. For example, Ketchikan had the first chapter in Alaska. So they have Chapter A. Our Chapter G formed here in Juneau in 1960. So we've been around for a while, and there are with our three chapters, there's probably over 150 women in Juneau alone that are involved in PEO. And it's really helping women achieve their educational goals. So we start with the high school students, and then PEO International also has scholarships for loans and grants to for continuing education, baccalaureate degrees, advanced degrees. So it's a great organization, a great program. It's been doing great things.
That's awesome. And of course, you can go to peointernational.org. That's sort of the website for the international organization. And do you all have like your own Facebook page for Chapter G, or do you have a place where people can find out how to get involved locally with you all?
PEOAlaska.org is the state website. We can post and do post things to our state website here. We don't have our own separate, but we do put things on Facebook, and we use it for example, for promoting that there are fundraising opportunities and talking. But if people are interested in PEO in general or interested in becoming a member, they can call me. My number's on the poster, and or Liz or Joyce. There's several people we can talk to in town.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. Because I was so curious about the sort of the chapter G part, because I was like, how do you get to the G? But I get it when they were created.
Right.
I want to put a plug in to change them all to, well, I guess if there's three, then you can't just go with J, like chapter J, right? For Juno. Because then you'd have to have J1, J2, J3. because I thought of Ketchikan being the first, they could be K, right? But
right.
Yeah, that's so funny. But I love that it's a statewide organization. There's so many chapters here that people can get involved in.
Right.
So we're going to talk about the wildlife cruise, but I'm just curious, what other kinds of things do you do throughout the year?
Well, each chapter does sort of their own thing, but we meet monthly. As a group, we become really good friends. We talk with each other. We support each other in any other activities that PEOs are doing. We get together as groups and do hikes. We do lunches. We get together with the other clubs. We have programs so we can invite people, experts in town. We've had people come in and talk to us about electronic vehicles. We've had stuff about recycling. We've had all kinds of, each one of us gets to come up with a program idea and we can bring someone in. So we're learning as we get together and meeting about different topics.
I see. And Liz, how did you get involved and what made you get involved with PEO?
Well, one of the ways that we receive new members is by inviting our friends to become members of the chapter. And that was how I became one of the PEO members. And it's just a collection of women who support each other and learn together.
Yeah.
And so one of the things that we do is we have a book club that's associated with our chapter. So every month we read a book and then we can gather together and have coffee and talk about the book and what we learned from it. And usually there's a different topic that goes with that. So I have a hard time explaining exactly how it works, but we're looking for something that's nonfiction or a biography specifically, or a certain educational pursuit. And so that's what the theme that month is. And so then they pick a book from that genre and that's how we move along in that.
Okay. So, yeah. So I'm getting the sense that the organization, it's really about education in all different forms and ways of doing that.
It's lifelong learning.
Yeah.
So for example, yesterday we had a meeting and one of our scholarship recipients from last year came and talked to us about her first year in college. And she's a double major, just very articulate, very just enthusiastic, a great young woman to have come talk to us and tell us about how our little bit of help really supported her that first year. So we had the honor this year of awarding 5 local scholarships to high school students, and one and an additional student qualified for a PEO international scholarship. So we have 6 scholarships here in town. All 6 of those young women will be on the wildlife cruise that night.
Oh, that's so nice.
So people who are supporting us and come will get to meet the students that we're helping. And it's going to be a really fun night on the water.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. So let's talk about this wildlife cruise. It's coming up on July 25th. It's going to be from 6 to 9 p.m. And it looks like guests need to arrive by 5:30. And tell us a little bit about this cruise.
Well, it's been wonderful. We've worked with Al Marine for about a decade now. They've been so generous in allowing us to use their vessels to get out on the water. We'll have a catered dinner by Breeze Inn. It'll be a light dinner, so we'll have food on board. Our PEO members are making homemade cookies to bring. And of course, there are other beverage options that are available for sale on the boat. But it's just going to be a lovely evening. We asked people to come and meet at that new commercial ramp where all of the commercial whale watching venues go out. It's covered now. It's a very nice place. And then we can get people checked in and ready to go and load the boat on time.
That is amazing. And, you know, I just want another shout out to Allen Marine Tours, right? They help out so many organizations with fundraisers and being able to offer that up as an opportunity, because there's really nothing like seeing some whales, you know, like,
oh, they're wonderful.
Getting out on the water.
And they know that they have a performance that night.
Yeah, right? Yeah, it's amazing. Now, I want to hear more about these cookies.
So we have some excellent bakers in the chapter. And they're going to be baking chocolate chip, ginger snap, and oatmeal raisin cookies. Mm-hmm. And they're absolutely delicious. And there's going to be something like 12 dozen of each kind of cookie.
Oh, my goodness.
There should be enough for everyone to get at least one or two of every kind.
One or two. I want more than that. I'm out of town, unfortunately.
It's not quite like the governor's open house, but there'll be one.
Well, that's what I was wondering is if they're made by the members of the organization, is there like a little competitive nature in there? Who can make the best chocolate chip cookie?
Oh, of course.
You know, and who can make Liz is pointing at somebody who's in the room named Karen.
Years of practice.
What's your secret, Karen?
Lots of butter.
Yes.
Lots of chocolate chips and enough flour so that they don't, you know, spread out all over. Like they're nice and chunky,
right? Yeah. Get a little. And do you like the chewy or the crunchy?
Chewy.
Chewy. Yeah, I like a chewy chocolate chip cookie as well.
That's important.
And Liz, what do you make? Do you make cookies?
Oh, my daughter and I make cookies together, especially at Christmas, and our cookie trays are sought.
Okay.
So just going to throw that out there.
I love that.
Well, I wanted to say, too, about Allen Marine. I know there's a lot of these fundraising cruises, and it's just a great opportunity for locals like myself who don't have a boat to get out on the water. It's also nice if you have guests coming into town because you can get out on the water for a cheaper price than trying to get on one of the regular whale watch boats. Mm. So it's kind of a nice way for locals to enjoy the water if you don't have your own boat.
Gotcha. That makes sense. And it's $120 per person.
Right.
And we can mention that the tickets are available at the jack.org, J-A-H-C.org website. It'll be on there. And usually those tickets are listed in order of date. So just jump ahead to July 25th and you can get yourself a ticket for this. Dinner is included. So let's talk a little bit more about these scholarships. Now, it says for local women, is it mostly high school students or can anybody apply? How do people get these scholarships?
We have, so every fall, we work with the guidance counselors at the high schools. We have an application that goes out. And those are awarded in the spring, usually in May. We have a committee in the chapter that reviews all the applications and selects the recipients. We also talk with the University of Alaska Southeast because we have had students that have gone there who have needed some additional help, and they've talked to us about particular scholarships. PEOInternational.org is another place to look at. There's five different programs. We have a loan program, there's grant programs, and there's scholarship programs. So people can go out and look at those. And then if they're interested in pursuing one, get a hold of us and we can help them try to apply for one of the national projects if we don't have funds available locally for them. So it's really great. Like I said, we had we actually have three high school seniors who qualified for this PEO Star International Scholarship. So, and one that we sponsored got one too. So
that's pretty cool.
It's pretty exciting. And we've had people here in town who've have gotten educational loan funds from PEO and now as a nurse practitioner and a librarian. We've had several people over the years who have gone through PEO International and sought financial assistance.
Oh, so PEO International can do some loans for people if they need some help.
Right.
I see. Okay. That's kind of cool. That's really good to know about.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure the guidance counselors know, but if you're a young woman out there in high school, this is a scholarship. And what are the ranges of the amounts that you're able to give? Does it depend on how much you raise throughout the year?
Well, PEO and International has specific amounts that you can apply for, loans up to, I think, $20,000. And depending on the, if you're for a baccalaureate or an advanced degree, how much you can apply for. So that varies a little bit. Locally, our ability to issue scholarships depends on our fundraising.
Right.
So that's why this is such a big important fundraiser for us. And we had 2 years, of course, during the pandemic where we had to cancel the cruise. So we're just starting to build back up, and we're so happy to be able to give out 5 local scholarships this spring. So if we have a really good successful fundraiser in July, then we'll have more to give out next year.
That's awesome. And so it's targeted towards high school students. But like you said, some people may, if they're out at the university and they're looking for additional funds in their second or third year, it's not necessarily limited to high school students.
We can. It's our flexibility depending on the resources we have.
Yeah, that's really great. It's the PEO Wildlife Cruise. It's happening July 25th. What day is that?
It's a Thursday.
It's a Thursday. Okay.
Yeah.
And it's from 6 to 9 p.m. You're going to want to arrive by 5:30. You want to pick up a ticket at jahc.org. They're $120 per person for that. There's some dinner included. You're going to get to see some humpback whales and some bald eagles and all the sea lions who are hanging out there doing their thing. And it's a 3-hour cruise. And you're going to get to meet the recipients of this year's scholarships, right? That you've already given out.
Yeah.
And then if you're looking to get a scholarship, talk to your guidance counselor. Or I'm going to give. Is it okay if I give your number out over the air?
Sure.
It's on a poster, so I figure it's okay.
Fine.
So Karen Rehfeld is at 907-209-7733. If you have questions about the organization or if you have questions about these scholarships, I'll have some links on the webpage for this episode where you can get information, or you can go to peoalaska.org, which is the statewide organization, or peointernational.org to find out more about this awesome organization that is really about education and supporting and helping women do the things they want to do and learn about. I love that.
Yes, we do too. Thank you.
Karen and Liz, thank you so much. Gunathish, for being here today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay. Up next, the Alaska Experience Camp kicks off this coming Monday. We'll have a preview of this day camp for 6th to 12th graders, learning outdoor skills and more. This is Juno Afternoon from KTOO. Here's a little bird note.
This is Bird Note. A roughly circular hole, chiseled by a woodpecker into the face of a tree trunk, is not an unusual sight in nature. What is unusual is seeing what lies beyond the opening. The hole leads to the interior of the tree, a passageway to the nesting chamber carved below. Inside this private space, layered with wood chips, a pair of woodpeckers will lay eggs and raise a brood. The chamber must be carved deep enough to accommodate the growing family. Just as woodpecker species vary greatly in size, so do cavities. The chamber of a tiny downy woodpecker descends about a foot from the opening. The crow-sized pileated woodpecker may chip out a chamber 2 feet deep. These birds usually breed only once a year and typically lay 3 to 5 eggs. Most North American woodpeckers create a new cavity each spring. An aging trunk may reveal a long history of nest holes, deep lineages of woodpecker families. For Bird Note, I'm Mary McCann. Bird Note celebrates the everyday actions of our listeners and the work of our conservation partners to reverse the alarming decline in North American birds. Together, we can bring birds back. Learn more and get involved at birdnote.org.
K KTOO would like to acknowledge that we broadcast from the homelands of the Occoquan. The Clan Edi have stewarded this area for thousands of years. Today, our studios sit on a spot once part of the tidelands, now covered over with buildings, roads, and parking lots. We recognize those families who traveled to and from these tidelands to fishing and hunting grounds and to gatherings in other villages and still cherish it as an important part of their way of life for today and for future generations.
You're listening to KTOO's Tlingit Word of the Week. This week's word comes from the late Kahuanish George Davis. The word this week is Seek.
Seek.
That means black bear. And let's hear a sentence.
Seek.
The black bear had cubs. Let's hear it again.
Seek.
Black bear. Ganesh Jeesh to Hune Lance Twitchell, Gold Belt Heritage Foundation, and the University of Alaska Southeast for this audio.
Kahuan Ish, George Davis was Akhtain Tan and the child of a Tsagwedi man. He grew up in Qiq, Cake, Alaska, and learned to speak well because he would always bring traditional foods to the elders there. As someone who fished a lot and spent time on the land, he knew Tlingit place names all over the area, and he learned many stories and advanced ways of speaking.
Tune in next week for another Tlingit Word of the Week from KTOO.
You're listening to Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Starting this Monday, July 15th, with time to still get registered or get on the wait list, depending on, we'll find out more about that in just a minute, is the Alaska Experience Camp. It's going to run through July 19th. And here now to tell us more about it are Darren Snyder, and he's got a long title, UAF Cooperation Extension Service Agent and Associate Professor, Agriculture, Horticulture, and 4-H Youth Development.
Yeah, you got it.
And also joining us is Victoria Johnson, and she is with Gold Belt Heritage. Victoria, thank you so much. Thank you so much for being here. It's a pleasure to have you in the studio. And Wasaiti, how's it going? Yes. How are you both?
Doing good.
Really okay.
Getting excited.
I know it's just a couple days away. Now, I do want to get this out of the way right at the beginning, and then we'll talk about kind of like the details. Because when I hopped on the website today, I think it said something like, if you're a boy, you may be on the wait list. So I'm assuming that means there's still room for the young ladies to get registered.
There are, and also potentially for some of the young men as well.
Okay.
It's just, we're kind of at capacity with some of our lodging and other kind of logistics. So on the as far as the gender goes, especially the lodging.
Yeah. And I love that. And thank you, Darren, because the city always has, sometimes these website names get so long, but you have created bit.ly links for all of this stuff, which I think is fantastic. So if you want to follow along with what we're talking about, go to bit.ly/ak-experience-camp. That will get you all the information and show you what we're talking about. And if you want to try to get registered, because technically registration was closed a couple days ago, but you can still sort of sneak in there and make it happen for your 6th to 12th grade student. Okay, so what is this camp?
That's a great question. Great question. AK Experience Camp started in 2009 with my leadership and with a great momentum moving forward. Once I started this work at that time, with many of the 4-H leaders who had carried forward outdoor skills and related programs, but I knew that we wanted to get a camp going, and I wanted to connect it with foods and wild foods and cultivated foods, and so in partnership with Fish and Game at the time, Kristen Romanoff was one of my first partners with there, and DIPAC with Rich Madsen, who have both since moved on to other things, retirements, fortunately. But also one of my current partners in this is John Smith III, and he has continued even since our first camps back in 2009 to continue to help create this camp. And so we changed gears a little bit in ways and very significantly in other ways over time, where it was a sustainable harvest camp, and we still keep that, but we very much bumped up our adventure levels and also our focus on the Tlingit culture and to connect our activities with the stories and the traditional cultural practices of the Tlingit.
Yeah, I love that. I know that you work with the UAF Cooperative Extension Department, I guess is what it's called. But then I notice on the flyer that you have wonderful partners, including Gold Belt Heritage, where Victoria is from, but also Tlingit and Haida, as well as the Douglas Indian Association. They're all partnering to help sort of put this camp together, right? And is there a specific focus each year? Like, what's the focus this year? Is there something different about this year than previous years?
Well, since we've gotten started with our more meaningful cultural knowledge, we just really wanted to encourage our participants to be a part of it, along with our Native children as well. Mm-hmm. Because again, you know, through colonization, we have lost a lot of things. And so we started to, again, gather up those pieces, and we share with the children the pieces that we have gathered, and to say there's still room, there's still these empty spaces that we need help with. Mm. And we're hoping that these children, as they work together, both Alaskan Native and non-Native, that they're learning about each other. Mm. And so that's how we just kind of thought we needed our children to be working more closely together through camps, that it's not just Alaskan Native and it's not just non-Native camps, because again, we're putting ourselves in these little vacuum cleaners, right?
Right.
And what we want is wuch'in, working together. Mm-hmm. And it happens if our children play together and grow together. And so by sharing our cultural stories at a young age or even in middle school, they're starting to have a comfort level of nature and feeling comfortable with nature. And that's how Darren pulled us in, was he was, I think that he always knew he wanted culture, but we just didn't know how. Mm. How do you place, you know, cultural knowledge? It's very easy. We go harvest our foods, right? But there's other little steps that we like to help our children recognize. And that's our relationship with nature.
Mm, I love that.
How do we work together with nature? How do we work together? You know, if nature is giving us this beautiful vision of working together, meaning that the trees are growing, the berries are growing, and all the animals are all getting what they need. That's the most beautiful example of working together. And I always say, what does that look like in humans?
Mm, you know? Wow. Love that.
And again, it's always not just learning about ourselves, but also learning about nature, learning about the healing properties that it has, but even going deeper by learning about these cultural stories that we kind of tucked away on our shelves. Mm. And they've been just collecting dust. And how wonderful to have an elder like Doc Kudane, Tommy Jimmy Jr., to come in and unpack this beautiful stories and help us begin to wonder, begin to encourage these relationships and thoughts, you know, as a community. So again, it's just been, this camp has grown so big.
Yeah.
So many ways.
That's so wonderful. It's really, really fantastic. So tell me a little bit, Darren, about the nitty gritty of how it works. So I know it's all next week. Mm-hmm. What do people need to know in terms of hours and what's going to be happening at this camp?
Yeah. So it is a residential camp. So we'll be picking up the participants either downtown or in the valley on Monday morning, and then dropping them back off again on Friday afternoon. There will be, on the last day on Friday, there'll be an opportunity for families to join us for some final celebrations on Friday. And we are going to have just a filled week of various activities. A lot of them are some of these high interest, high energy activities that youth love to do. We're going to be doing some kayaking. We're going to be we've been donated some the use of for another year. Big thanks to Cycle Alaska, who have donated bicycles to us for the kids to use. And we bike out to either Scout Beach or up to the glacier, the Herbert Glacier Trail, and we have them getting around and moving around and having a good time, just kind of doing a lot of those types of activities, in addition to many of the harvest-based activities. We have the great fortune to be inviting and having Vivian Mork to be joining us and to be sharing her knowledge and experience, her vast knowledge and experience and expertise with our campers this week. So much thanks to Vivian for accepting to join us with this. And then also the One People Canoe Society. Jay-Z and Captain Jay-Z and Captain Yarrow are going to be helping us set sail in the Thlinget canoes, and we'll be setting out and going on a mini voyage. And we're going to be landing, of all places, at the Arboretum, the City and Borough CBJ Arboretum, Jensen Olsen Arboretum, where Ginger and is going to be hosting us there, and we are going to be working with all of the to have a traditional landing ceremony there as well.
Oh, canoe man, landing that's ceremony. Awesome.
Yeah, and it's and we did it last year with Fran Houston, and it was very beautiful, and we're working to have that as well this year. And I just have to echo my appreciation of for Tommy Jimmy Jr. to be leading much of our cultural activities, and including our part of our title here of Aniyadu'u, which translates into perspectives of the land, is one of the translations. But to have that focus of as we're looking at what we're doing and how things are related to each other, what are the perspectives of ourselves and those around us, whether they be plants, animals, humans, what have you. We're going to be definitely doing learning and sharing about hunting activities and fishing, and I mentioned kayaking. Yep, gonna get
it's
on
all
that.
Good.
Yeah, and survival skills
and
as well.
Yeah, and cooking. Yeah,
we
that is so good.
This awesome culinary artist who Becky.
Yep.
Who joined our camp last year, and she was so excited that she already signed up to join our camp for the second year. And that was a new piece where the students got to learn culinary skills, where she helped them cook the foods and so forth. And so again, it's all about doing.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's what I love about this camp. And Darren sets that bar. He says, I don't want the kids to be sitting there listening to us. I want the students
doing.
To be out doing.
Doing.
With us.
Yeah, it's the Alaska Experience Camp. It's next week. It starts July 15th. It sounds like it's you send your kids away for a week. Basically, they're overnighting. They're going to be learning all kinds of things related to outdoor survival, hunting, fishing, foraging, indigenous arts, traditional ecological knowledge. It'll all be held out at the Eagle River Methodist Camp. The tuition is $250, and you can find out more. There is some assistance available, and you can find out all about that if you go to the links that I was talking about. If you go to bit.ly/ak-experience-camp. Well, Gunnath Cheech for telling us about this awesome camp. It's so cool. And if you want information directly on the tuition waiver, you can go to bit.ly/akxcamp. camp-tuition-waiver. So that's one thing you can do. But Gwyneth Cheese, for telling us about this, really appreciate you coming in.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. Gwyneth Cheese. Okay, that will do it for today's Juno Afternoon. Have a terrific Thursday. On tomorrow's show, a preview of the Auchman Triathlon, plus the Last Chance Mining Museum, and a look at this weekend's events, including the Delta Music Makers in concert with the Juno Community Bands. Find the show online at junoKTO.org/JunoAfternoon, where you can listen to episodes, subscribe to the podcast, or find out how to be a guest on the show. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Aaron Tripp. Thanks, and have a glorious Juno evening.
KTOO Juno and KAUK Juno Ok Bay.